On this episode of Drive with Woody Fitt and Bauer Power, we have a little bit of a debate about the documentary, The Game Changers. Now, if you haven't seen this documentary, it is a show promoting the vegan lifestyle. Arnold Schwarzenegger was one of the producers of the show. He was interviewed in the show as well. And me and Chris kind of give our opinions on the whole vegan fiasco, if you want to call it. Seems to be taking a little bit of fire lately.
Yeah, they're definitely in the spotlight right now. So I think the truth will really come out very shortly here.
Yep, in the next couple years or so. So then after we rip into this documentary, we go over our wins, our dad wins and dad losses for the week, which this is the second time we've done this, and we both are really enjoying being able to reflect and, you know, kind of point out where we succeeded and where we failed. And then right from that, we started to talk about specialty bars and how you can use them to change things up in your training. What is a specialty bar and whatnot? So, if you like the show, please leave us a rating and review in your podcast player of choice. And if you have any questions, send us a DM on Instagram. You can find me, Woody_Fit13.
And you can find me at BauerPower82. That's BauerPower82. So send us any questions you have, or let us know your comments. And like Nate said, leave us a good review. Or if you really have to, leave us a shitty review. But we'd appreciate it if you'd send us a message first.
Yes.
Enjoy the show.
Let's clear some things up.
Yeah.
Yeah. With all that, enjoy this episode of Drive with Woody Fitt and Bauer Power.
All right.
Speaking of food, since we were on the topic of you going out to eat, what did you think of that, the Game Changers documentary?
Dude. So I try not to be judgmental, and
yeah,
I know that different things work for different people, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it did not flow. Like, if they were trying to convince me of anything, yeah, they failed. And like, this is sort of the, so I felt like the filmography and all that, like, James Cameron is working on it, right? You know, with Schwarzenegger, who's also he's been in a lot of stuff. So, and James Cameron is obviously a very good producer. So they knew what they were doing.
He produced.
That regard.
He produced, it was Avatar, and that was exceptional. I thought that was an exceptional movie.
Yeah.
So you're right. Like, he knows what he's doing when it comes to producing a film.
Further back than that, he did Titanic too, didn't he?
Titanic too. That's right. Yeah. Titanic. Titanic too.
I mean, dude, that was huge. That came out. But anyway, so they definitely had some talent directing and producing it, but. Man, it was just kind of like, it was very one-sided and like really all over the place.
I felt like it had a pretty, I didn't necessarily feel like it was all over the place. Like, I felt like it had a good, like, direction in terms of this is what the movie's about. Like, once you got into it, it was like, okay, I get the point. You're going to take somebody, you're going to show me that they adopted a vegan diet, and you're going to show me the benefits that they saw. And so it was like, after like the first two people they introduced, I was like, okay, every new person they introduce is going to, I'm going to learn about how the vegan diet benefited them, you know, performance-wise or health-wise.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was part of it, but like, they kept smattering in like studies and stuff. Like, for example, there is a part where they went to the New York Fire Department, and they showed all these firefighters, and these guys are like No offense to the guys, but not really in good shape to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. And the majority of them are pretty much out of shape.
Yeah. Like,
there's no lying about that.
They did not pick a fire department where there's a bunch of ripped guys. You know what I mean? The guys that are already exactly. healthy. So they took these, you know, firefighters, and they supplied them with a week of plant-based food. Mm-hmm. And they, after a week, they all went and had all this testing done. And, of course, their cholesterol had gone down and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. All their markers went down.
Well, okay, but what did you really prove? People that eat shit versus people that eat a regulated diet are...
Right.
I mean, that's not really a very...
Not even that. It's like, they didn't even have any mention about what these people were eating prior. And if you look at every study they did in the video... In the documentary, there was no mention to what these people were eating prior. And one of the athletes, do you remember, and there was a scene where they were testing their blood, and one of the Dolphins football players said, yeah, like, when we're on the road, I eat, like, Kentucky Fried Chicken and, like, fast food. And at that, to me, I literally paused the movie and was like, okay, because I was watching it with my wife yesterday. And I was like, Nick, they literally... So that whole test, they were testing their blood. They gave them a meal with animal-based protein, tested their blood, separated the blood, and showed how the plasma was foggy, and that was like the fat that was in the blood. Uh-huh. And then they did the same thing with the plant-based burrito, and then drew blood, spun the blood, you know, to separate it, and then the plasma was more clear after that bean burrito. But what they don't take into account is that, you know, these athletes that went into this prior are coming off of eating junk food. Like, they literally admitted to eating fast food.
Right.
And now they're doing a study where everything is controlled for them. So they're not going out and eating fast food in between these two meals. Like, you know, I don't really like the term detox, but it's like there was a detox period there from the last fast food meal that they ate. And they even said that the animal-based protein they gave them was like grass-fed organic. So it was like the best of the best animal protein you could get. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then so there was no consideration for what these guys and what these girls are eating prior to like going into these tests and all the tests that they did. There was no mention about what they were eating prior.
Yeah.
So I just think there's a massive flaw in all of the tests that they did. It was just like, it's just all smoke and mirrors, right? Like, if you're not thinking about that stuff, it's all smoke and mirrors. And that's what happened to me when I saw the other documentary about veganism. What was it? It wasn't Food Inc.
Was it What the Health?
Yeah, What the Health. That's what happened with me with What the Health. For like the first month after watching it, I was like, oh my God, this is like life-changing, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then I started to really like think about it and actually spend time thinking. And I was like, well, wait a minute. And like reading other people's articles and listening to other people's opinions about it. And there's just, it was just all smoke and mirrors to me. All of the tests that they did to try to prove how a vegan diet is superior. It was just all smoke and mirrors to me.
Yeah, well, and like the examples that they use, like with the Dolphins players, with the Tennessee Titans, you know, stuff like that.
Maybe it was the Titans.
All of them.
I don't know if the Dolphins were that.
No, there was both. There was the Tennessee Titans was the guy where his wife was making all the plant-based food for like pretty much the whole team. And the Dolphins was the three players. But
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but all the examples they used where they were, like, switching someone, they'd have them switch for, like one meal versus another meal. Or, like, eat this way for a week. Like, all just, like, super-duper short-term. Which, like, one of the issues with the whole, like, plant-based diet is that it's really hard to get, like, all of the... amino acids and all of the
a complete protein.
The micronutrients that you need, and that's not going to show up till much later.
Exactly. And like, here's the thing, the average person is pretty ignorant to a well-balanced diet. Include when you even when you include animal-based foods, right? So right. Now we're going to take people who are pretty much ignorant to eating a well-balanced diet and eliminate an entire massive group of foods. Everything is from an animal. We're going to eliminate that and expect them to be able to handle understanding these things, like not only just eating a well-balanced diet, but eating enough food to sustain them, and then also getting all of the micronutrients they need. I mean, plants, like it's a scientific fact that plants are not whole, complete sources of protein. And the FDA defines a complete protein source as a food that has all of the essential amino acids in, enough of an amount, right? In a good amount, that's what a complete protein is. And a lot of, like 90% of plants are not complete proteins. And so you have to combine other plants per meal. Like if you want a complete protein source, you have to combine two plants. You know what I mean? So because this one plant may have, you know, no tryptophan in it, but this other plant does have the tryptophan. And when you combine the two, you have all of the essential amino acids together. So you have your complete protein.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you, how can we expect, you can't expect average people to do that when we're already so ignorant as it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I was actually really surprised. So after I watched the documentary, I went on YouTube and just searched Game Changers to see, you know, okay, what's already out there as far as opposing and people that are, you know, for. And, man, there were actually a lot of videos. So and this is basically what I found. Apparently, Joe Rogan on his podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience, slammed this movie pretty hard. And, you know, dude, I'm going to be honest here, and this is not a popular opinion. I can't stand The Joe Rogan Experience. Like, podcast is too long, and, you know, I don't know. I've never liked the guy.
Dude, I love his, what's the word I'm looking for? I love the people that come on that are like conspiracy theorists, especially about the aliens. I can eat that shit up. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, see, I'm not not really into that. I don't know. But anyway, that's just whatever. That part doesn't matter. But yeah, he obviously very famous. I mean, probably one of the biggest podcasts out there. And probably he slammed this movie. All right. All the videos that I found were rebuttals to his slamming the movie.
Yeah.
One of them was by the strongman that's featured in the movie, and you know, it was just basically attacking Robert Oberst, who is another strongman who was on the show.
Who was on the JRE,
But it didn't really, like, all the rebuttals their arguments were all built on sand. Or they were using the same type of argument that could be easily turned around on them. I don't know. I was actually really surprised. Usually when you look on YouTube, because it is like an open platform, you will see a lot of both sides. And most of what I found was rebuttals to Joe Rogan. And there were two that I watched. And like I said, I try to keep an open mind, but neither of them really had good arguments. They were really just more slamming Joe Rogan than they were actually coming up with good points.
Here's the thing. I don't think there is a good argument out there. Like we both said, they did a very good job of putting the documentary together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think they also cherry-picked information. But they didn't give us all of the facts. And all of the facts is, what you need to make a good decision, especially about something like that. And, you know, people have said before that we need to be careful about these diets. I think actually Ben Greenfield said this. We need to be careful about these diets where we are eliminating an entire group of foods.
Yeah.
Okay. Because simply going, right? If we're going to eliminate an entire group of foods, if I'm going to go on a vegan diet, okay, I'm eliminating all animal-based foods, right? Now, what am I going to do? Well, if I'm an average person, I'm going to look up vegan recipes. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to compile a bunch of vegan recipes, and I'm going to make these vegan meals, right? And it can be very easy to eat less calories, especially it can be very easy to eat less calories than you were eating prior, right? Especially if you have no idea how many calories you were eating. And so, of course, seeing weight loss is like, that's like, duh, right? You went from no structure, let's say, to having structure or whatever. It's just, to me, it's just, it's like, no shit, you're going to change, right? You're, it's like almost guaranteed that you're going to eat less. Right?
Yeah.
Than you were eating prior. And this is the average person, because the average person is going to go on a diet because they are taking that step to lose the weight, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're not going on it for performance enhancement. You know what I mean? They're not going on it so they can be better at whatever. You know, there's obviously a small minority, a small group of people who are doing that. But, you know, most people who are in our situation, right, who are dads, right?
Right.
Who are... like, okay, like, I gotta take it. I gotta make a change. You know, let's say you want to get healthier so that you can live longer to see your kids, so that you can, you know, do things with your kids that you physically can't do now because your physical health is holding you back from that, or your weight is holding you back from that. You know, you're gonna be in a situation like that where you're just gonna say, okay, here, I got all these recipes. I'm gonna have my wife cook it. My wife's on board with me. She wants to lose the weight too, or I'm gonna do it because I'm motivated to do it to lose the weight. And if you're going from not tracking at all, like, of course you're right. gonna lose the weight. You know what I mean? Of course your body's gonna change. You're eating fucking vegetables.
And right, and here's the other thing about that. Like, when people are on a weight loss type diet, there is a reason why they want you in pretty much any diet to eat a lot of vegetables. It's because there are not a lot of carbohydrates in vegetables.
And those calories don't count.
Well, yeah, I mean, they all...
vegetable calories don't count, essentially.
They pretty much don't. And that was something that was really ironic, was they actually, in the documentary, were talking about how protein is not the preferred source of energy for working out.
It's like, carbohydrates. No shit.
And I'm like, well, yeah, that's pretty basic, and... you are correct.
Like, good job. Good job.
Yep. All right. You get a cookie.
Like,
but yeah. I'm thinking while they're saying this, yeah, you're right. But vegetables do not provide a lot of carbohydrates. Like, now, you can get some carbohydrates from fruit. But to give you an example, like a banana is actually pretty carbohydrate dense, and it's low glycemic index, which means it stays with you a little longer. And it has 27 grams. Yeah. 27 grams of carbs in a banana. But like an orange, it's like less than 20. So, yeah. You remember the Bristol stool chart you were talking about?
Yep.
Imagine if you ate enough fruit to get all your carbs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so, oh my gosh.
But, I mean, so...
you'd have so much fiber.
Right. But,
It was
a very one-sided documentary. Yes. I mean, if you want to watch it, you know, go ahead.
But, oh, definitely watch it. I think it's definitely worth watching it. But, like, let's boil this down. Let's boil this down, right? This documentary was very one-sided. You know, we're obviously in agreement on a lot of things, and that's one of them, right? Whenever you made a decision, like, I'm sure you did this in school, or even outside of school, before you made a decision about something, anything. This could be anything in life, right? You made at least one point in your life. You did this one time, because we all did this at least one time. You made a chart where you had the pros and the cons about whatever it was. And you literally wrote them out, the pros and the cons, right? Yeah. And then you made your decision. You saw the good things from doing this, and you saw the bad things that could come out of doing this decision. And then you made your decision as to whatever you were going to do.
Right.
You know, so that is a very constructive and a very positive way to make a decision about something. Right. It's a very mature way to make a decision about something. Well, if we look at this documentary, like that pros and cons chart, all this documentary was the pros.
Right.
All this documentary, it was telling you these are the awesome things about being a vegan, and these are the bad things about eating meat. Those are the same exact things, right? So there was no real pros and cons chart. I mean, if they wanted to be objective about it, they would have said, here's the good things about adopting the vegan diet. Here are the bad things about adopting a vegan diet, things you need to watch out for. We hope you make the best decision for yourself. And you want to know something else that I read?
Yeah.
The producer, what was his name? James Cameron?
Yeah.
And it wasn't James Cameron. It was one of the other producers. But him and his wife own a pea protein, like, company. Like
plant-based protein
company? Like a plant-based protein company. Yeah, and no, he's made public statements there. Before. He made public statements before saying he wants to be his company to be the biggest supplier of plant-based protein in the United States. Now, to me, that sounds like he has a little bit of skin in the game, you know, mm-hmm. for people to choose plant-based diet.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So, you know, that's where the money came from one of the producers. You know,
wow.
There's where the money came from. So, like, you know, let's not forget that.
Yeah.
I mean,
which that's, you know, a big red flag. If they actually provided a lot of valid information, I could take that with a grain of salt, but considering mm-hmm, it, mm-hmm. it just makes it a little harder to take it seriously, you know?
Yes. Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we beat the shit out of that horse.
Yeah, pretty much. So if you haven't seen it, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a shit show, but, you know, if you want to, yeah, go check it out and, you know,
yeah.
Let us know what you think.
It's worth a watch just for the chuckles, honestly. They yeah. even claim that you're going to get better boners.
Yeah, so, yeah, they actually did a very short-term study.
They literally said that.
Yeah.
Extremely short-term.
They did a study that lasted an entire night to figure that out. Yep, one night.
All right, let's switch gears here and move on to your wins and losses of the week.
Okay.
So I was thinking about this before the show. So I have mine.
All right. You go ahead, because I'm still working on mine.
Okay. So my loss is I went to the gym with my wife on Monday. I did not listen to my body. And, you know, my lower back was not feeling the best. And I wanted to deadlift. We joined a gym near us just as a way for, because she can't work out at home. She just doesn't have that mentality.
Yeah.
So, you know, once a week, my mom is planning on coming up to watch the kids. We're going to go out, me and her, to the gym. Saturday mornings, she goes to the spin class. So she's set, right? Like, that's what she needs. So I'm trying to be more supportive to help her, you know, meet the goals that she wants to meet. Because I have my garage gym, so, like, you right. know, I may not do a full structured workout, but I have it there whenever I want to. So, like, you know, I have no barrier. And so I'm trying to make it easier for her. And so we go to the gym Monday, and I do a really good priming session before a lift. And you know, and there's one movement that I'm starting to practice that because I want to get good at is a single leg deadlift, a dumbbell single leg deadlift.
Okay.
And
hopefully yours look better than mine.
So it's pretty busy because it's like right at dinner time, and all of the squat racks and platforms are being used at this gym. So I'm like, whatever, I'll warm up with a few single leg deadlifts. And I bolt up to like the heaviest that I've gone with those, just because I only have 50 pound dumbbells at home. And I bolt up to like 60 or 65 pounds and just doing sets of five. And I started at like 45 and built up to 65. And then I went and deadlifted. And I just, because I'm still learning that movement.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was a contributor to the hip injury that I had.
Okay.
About a week ago.
Yeah.
Mind you, it's been like a little over a week since that, and I'm feeling great. So
awesome.
Definitely what I was doing was working, but, you know, and so Monday I'm like, yeah, single leg deadlifts, that's great. Squat rack finally opened, so I go over to get on the platform to deadlift, and I build up 275, and I go and pull 275, and I was just like, no, it's not happening. And it moves super slow. My lower back was just like hurting, and I was like, fuck. I like fucked myself up again. Oh, and I didn't listen to my body. And you know, I'm okay now. You know, it's what, Wednesday? And
yeah. You so didn't all hurt I've really yourself. Been doing, just,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even want to say I tweaked something. I was just like, it hurt, so I stopped. I mean, so I guess you could call it somewhat of a win because it hurt and I stopped. But you know, it still pissed me off because I like expected to perform a certain way, even though I just overdid it on single leg deadlifts.
Yeah.
So that was my fail. That was my fail for the week.
All right. So how about, and you know, I could go either way with that, like just from my perspective, because you could also consider that a win because you've got mm-hmm. this gym membership where, you know, your wife can work out now too. Cause like that's something that me and my wife are like that I want to do with my wife too. I want her to be involved mm-hmm. in fitness, and she does too. And it's so easy to get like just caught up in all the stuff that the kids need that, you know, it's really easy and super common to find like one person who's able to maintain their fitness and the other person mm-hmm. just like doesn't. And so I think it's like super important to do stuff like that to help your spouse to have time, you know? And So in that part, I would almost call that side of it at least a win. But I'll let you tell me what your win of the week is.
So my win of the week was on Tuesday. And it was yesterday. My wife had to go to the dentist to get some cavities filled. So I was home with all three kids, and I wanted to make it as fun as possible just because I remember when I was a kid and my mom would go out and we'd stay home with dad. Dad would sit in front of the TV and me and my sisters would just go and do our own thing, right? And it wasn't really the best memories. I mean, I don't want to go and say that he neglected us. Like, he obviously did not neglect us. Like, if we were hungry, he got us food. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like...
It's not like you were being abused.
But, like,
it
wasn't... Right. But it wasn't time with dad. You know what I mean? It was, oh, dad's watching TV, so let's go play. And it was... What it really was time with my sisters. So, like... I want to make it as fun as I can for my kids, because like they're going to get to a point where they're going to be like, no, dad, like I just want to go out with my friends, like leave me alone. So like I want to take advantage of all the years that I have to take advantage of before they get to that point. And so we just had this awesome dance party. Didn't have a movie on or anything, but we had this dance party. And we just had music going, and we were just playing all. I was playing all the music that the kids love, and you know, Lincoln ends up like falling asleep in my arms. So I'm like standing in the living room holding Lincoln. He's asleep. The music is blaring out of the TV. I have no idea how he's sleeping at this point. And Gianna and Shane are just like having a ball dancing around and with me. And it's just like it was just in that moment I was like, fuck yes, I am winning at life right now.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and it was, she ended up running like a half an hour later than we expected her to be, you know, getting back at. So it was like almost time for bed by the time she got back. And it was just great because other nights that's happened where she's gone out and been late coming back, you know, like I will get a little frustrated because I'm like, okay, you said you're going to be back at this time and you're not. And like the kids are losing their shit. And like, you know, I'm fucking tired and I have shit that I wanted to do tonight that I can't. And it just, I was just kind of like, you know what? Fuck everything else. Because right now I'm being dad and I'm doing the thing that I want to do for my kids is give them a life that I never had. And it was just like pure joy.
That is awesome. And I did see a few of your stories for the dance party. Yes. Dude, it looked like were having a lot of fun. When I see the stuff like that, it definitely makes me want to have number two. Because I know I know my son will, like, if he gets, like, a bro, you know, or even if he gets, like, a sister, either way.
Yeah.
He's just... I can tell his personality. He's just going to really enjoy having someone else around.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
That's, right, what that's are your, a what's big your, win. What's your wins and loss?
Okay. Oh, yeah. So I'm going to go with the win first. I think I mentioned in the last episode how, you know, Marcus is kind of getting to a point where I think he's like, his brain is starting to develop more, and part of that means he gets bored a lot more easily. Okay. So last Friday I decided to I'd heard about this farm that is like a, you know, organic, you know, they have their own store and they produce all of their own stuff, like all their own meat. Cool. All their own, like, everything.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I'd wanted to check it out. And it was, it's about 25 minutes away, so not super far, but not super close. And, like, 10 o'clock is sort of like the cutoff for driving anywhere with Marcus. If I try and drive somewhere with him after 10 o'clock, he's going to fall asleep and it's going to just like wreck his nap schedule for the day. And I'll pay for it for the rest of the day. So I knew I had to get him in the car by like 9, but this place didn't open till 10. So I'm like, okay. Ooh. So we left like around 9 and I found this new park to go to, new to us.
Nice.
And so we went to his park, and usually we just go to the community park. There's a park inside my community, and he's pretty familiar with it. He has fun, but like I said, he's enjoying new things. So took him to this park, and he loved it. There were like 6 slides. There was like all this stuff for him to do, and he was just like, dude, he loved it. And
that's awesome.
So that was cool. And then we actually didn't end up leaving there till like 10:30 probably. But
oh, nice.
Yeah. So he really got some enjoyment out of it. Definitely worth the drive. And then we went to his farm store. Well, the way that it's like set up, there is a gravel parking lot, and then there's like the animal pens that are kind of like around that. So we went into the store and, you know, we did some shopping. And when we were walking out with all the stuff, we got to the car and, like, he didn't want to get in the car. And I'm like, oh, you know what? He wants to see the animals. So there were, like, cows and ducks and turkeys, chickens. And so I let him, like, just kind of wander around and, like, look at the different animals. And the best part was when he went over to the turkey pen. He went over there, and you know how kids will like take their finger and like run it along their lips and do like sort of the blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So he started doing that like to imitate the turkeys. Like, it took me a minute to realize what he was doing, but then when I did, I'm like, I started laughing, and then I was like, wait a minute, that's actually pretty clever. Like, that he figured that out on his own, but I got it on video, and it's, you can barely hear it, but you can see what he's doing. Dude.
That's awesome.
So between the park and getting to see the animals and everything, like, it was just, like, a really awesome day.
That's awesome.
So total win. So yeah, that was pretty awesome. So on That's the awesome. Fail side of things, and this is kind of a failure to program correctly, maybe you could say, but, the way my work week is laid out, Monday is a pretty rough day for me. I don't usually have a lot of, I'm usually pretty beat from not getting a lot of sleep on the weekend. And by the time Monday rolls around, a lot of times the workout suffers. And for me, squats are probably the most challenging movement. So, you know, I did my squats on Monday, and just like the week before, I misloaded the bar and put too much weight on it.
I saw your post about this.
Like, and by too much weight, I mean, it was only by, like, 20 pounds, but I like to challenge myself, so whatever weight that I choose is usually pretty challenging to begin with. So, yeah, I came to realize that I need to, I'm kind of going to draw back to one of our earlier episodes together where I had said that I'm not running a training program that's like, all right, Monday I do this, Tuesday I do this, Wednesday I do this.
Right.
I came to realize that Monday is not the day for me to do squats, because that is the day that is like I'm the most fatigued, the least recovered. So I'm trying to figure out how to lay out my workouts in such a way that, you know, I'll be able to push a little better on squat day and, you know, be able to do more volume without... And just good quality reps. Like, I felt my like my reps were pretty good considering the level that I was working at. But
yeah,
I definitely realized that for my particular situation that I need to have a probably Monday be an upper body day, because upper body days are a lot easier to recover from for, well, I would say for me, but it's true of pretty much everybody. Most people can, you know, work up to training three or four upper body days, but to do three or four lower body days would be extremely fatiguing. It's kind of an odd fail, but it is a failure to program, which long term is a pretty big fail.
And it's a good, I mean, it's a good lesson to learn. You know what I mean? He's like, okay, probably shouldn't put squats on Monday. Won't do that again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
But if I remember correctly, you were squatting with the safety squat bar.
Yeah.
Dude, this past Sunday, I went down to the gym in Tanline Studio, which is like my favorite gym to go to because the owner, his name is Jim, and he's freaking awesome. He's an awesome dude.
Nice.
And they have all of the specialty bars that you would want.
Oh, nice. And
so that's why, that's part of the reason why I go. The other part is like the people there, you know, they have like this back room for like powerlifting. And so it's like hardcore metal playing all the time. It's fucking great.
Even better. And,
oh, yeah. And so I was like, I went and was like, you know what? I'm just going to squat. So I squatted, and all I wanted to do was use the safety, the specialty bars. So I started with the safety squat bar and ended up pushing out like 205, I think it was, for like sets of five. And I did like four or five sets of five at 205.
Nice.
On the safety squat bar. And then I used the cambered bar, switched bars and used the cambered bar. And pretty sure I only squatted like 185 for sets of five with the cambered bar. And dude, my glutes are still sore.
Wow. Like
literally all I did was five sets of five with the safety squat bar. And then like three sets of five with the cambered squat bar. And I fried my glutes. Like they're totally fried. And like that's like about the volume that I've been training at with, in terms of like one lower body movement, you know, in a workout is like five sets of three or three sets of five, followed by another exercise for like only a handful of sets and less than eight reps. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like far off from the volume, but it was just so different. I had to stabilize different. I had to push different. You know, with the safety squat bar, I was more upright than a normal squat. It was just so different. And I think that there's a good thing to keep in mind there that, you know, you can change things up simply by changing the type of bar you're using. Right? Like, you don't necessarily have to stop squatting and start lunging just to change it up. You know, I'm not saying that doing that is a bad thing, but, like, I really like squatting. You know what I mean? I hate doing lunges. I hate, like, step-ups. Like, I just like to squat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm
with you. Yeah, if I had to choose between squats and lunges or step-ups or hip thrusts or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be squats all day long.
Oh, yeah. And I just get much more enjoyment and benefit out of it. Like, psychologically, I get more benefit out of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wanted to change it up by using the safety bar, the specialty bars. And, like, I'm thinking to myself going into it, like, yeah, okay, I might feel it a little bit in my upper back from the safety squat bar, because I have to stabilize more with the upper back. And with the cambered squat bar, I might feel my core light up a little more. I might be sore. My core might be sore, you know, in the next couple of days, because I got to brace a little harder to prevent it from swinging back and forth. But I was not expecting my glutes to be, like, and it's like my glute minimus. Like, it's like the outside of my glutes. Like, I was just not expecting them to be as lit up as they are. And it just goes to show, like, you don't really need to do all that much to make a big difference. You know what I mean? Like, a small adjustment here, like, if you have two laser pointers and they're perfectly parallel and you change one by like a hundredth of a degree in, eventually those laser pointers are going to cross.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It may not be 100 feet in front of you. Yep. It may not be 1,000 feet in front of you, but it may be 10 miles down the road that those laser pointers will cross. And, you know, making a small adjustment like that can make a big change in the future.
Yeah. And that's really a long game kind of strategy, but one that I feel like the more you learn how to utilize and how those different bars fatigue different parts of you, fatigue you in different ways. Mm-hmm. Like, you can just really dial that in. Like, because the other cool thing about that, like, let's say that you were to do a set of five at 275 with a regular bar, or you did a set at 205, like 50 pounds less, with the, you know, with a safety squat bar. Well, you're moving less weight, but if that's a specific, like, muscle or maybe a weak point in the lift for you, you're getting the work done. So if you are in, I don't want to say a deload, but say you are just feeling overly fatigued, but you still want to progress, using that safety squat bar could be a good way to go, because your overall volume is less. Or, yeah, so, and I think that is something that requires some experimentation, and because, yeah, you can read all you want about these different bars and their intended usage, but we all have different weak points, and that's like, that's honestly like the worst part about following like a generic program, is it doesn't really take into effect your weaknesses. Now, the flip side of that is, if you're not good at diagnosing your weaknesses, if you don't really know what your weaknesses are, if you run one of those programs and you find that you're like struggling with something in particular, like right now I'm running this bench program, and when it comes to movements that are like really tricep heavy, or more tricep heavy than just a regular bench press, it's very difficult for me compared to the other lifts. So I've come to realize that my chest is stronger proportionally to my triceps. And so that made me realize that I need to work my triceps more. So, you know, it can be a learning experience either way. But, you know, that's the important part about it, is that we learn from, you know, from all these different things that happen along the way in your strength journey.
100%. With that, thanks for listening to this episode of Drive with Woody Fit and Bower Power. We hope you enjoyed the show. Leave us a rating and review in your podcast player of choice, and send us your questions on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at Woody_Fit13.
And you can find me at BauerPower82. That's BauerPower82.
Hell yeah.
Enjoy the show.